Some of the new music is great, but you sure can't get away from them old hymns. Take your Bible and open them up to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Title of the message is A Life-Changing Encounter. You know, we have different things that take place in our life that change what we thought, where we were headed, or relationships, or any of those things, and we consider them a life-altering or a life-changing encounter, events that take place in our lives. You know, no life is a straight path. If you live long enough, you'll find out there's all sorts of twists and turns and uphills and downhills, and it's just like a roller coaster ride, right? Some of them take you to the top, some of them take you to the bottom, some of them you yell and scream the whole way, and you squeal like a little pig sometimes, right? And then sometimes, kind of like we think about roller coaster rides, you even get stuck. It seems like you'll never get out of that mode. But it all takes place, and it has encounters of people we meet, and events, as I said. And here in Mark chapter 3, people crowd around. You see some of the headings in Mark chapter 3. It talks about always great multitudes coming to Jesus, following him for all sorts of reasons. But in the very end of this chapter, as he is surrounded by many people, his mother and his brothers come, and they want to talk to Jesus alone. And he's here in this great multitude, and Jesus makes these remarks. And oftentimes it's one that it's kind of overlooked, but it had a great impact when you look what is behind this. So Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, if you're able, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 3 and verse 31. Then his brothers and mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." You may be seated. Now, in reading all that was going on in chapter 3 and the places he's going, he's done healings on the Sabbath and got ridiculed by the legalistic folks, and he questions why he's doing that. Then great multitudes are following him, including his disciples, and he's teaching, he's preaching, he's performing miracles, and then pops this up where he's asking, been asked that question. His mom and his brothers are here. Your family's here. They want to see you. And Jesus gives the answer of what he says here. So I want to take that a moment and look at it. Many of you probably have had the opportunity to meet people who are famous, or they're in power. A lot of it. I've had that opportunity in my life. Some that were political figures, some that were musicians, some that were starring in movies, and all these different aspects, or maybe they were a well-known author or a well-known preacher even. And we have that opportunity to meet them And oftentimes, especially with those that are in the populous neighborhood, you know, they'll sign an autograph on your T-shirt or your poster or whatever article of clothing that you give. And there's a lot of stories about that when people go to concerts and surprising some of the articles of clothing that, well, quite frankly, ladies, that you hand those guys to sign. I mean, you know, I was amazed in getting to do that a lot. And I asked the particular individual, and I said, "Do you get this very often?" He said, "Everywhere I go." And so it is amazing to me where, you know, our modesty or what we think is proper reasoning kind of goes out the window, you know. I've also seen it where people meet someone that is important in their life or whatever, and you have the opportunity to introduce them, and then they get lockjaw. They can't say a word. They just stand there and stare at them. And you're like, "You've been wanting to meet this person. At least say hello," you know, kind of the common thing. And, you know, "Stick your hand out, shake it, whatever." And they just stand there, dumbfounded. Out of all those, people came to Jesus. I want to look back just for a minute over his ministry. There were people who came to Jesus for a lot of different reasons. Some came with an attitude of wanting to hear what he said so that they could find where he was wrong. They wanted to be able to take him down because he was the new guy on the scene and they were losing their influence and their power. Others came and crowded just to hear him speak because he was the current rage. Others, they came seeking to find a miracle from him, a healing of all sorts of kinds of healings, anywhere from the fact that they themselves had needed a healing from anywhere from being blind to being lame to being dumb to having demons possess them. And others, it wasn't about them, but people they cared for. And we see that even those who didn't know him or were of the Jewish faith, was a Roman centurion who sends word to Jesus for his servant. He cared that much for him. Others came simply because they met him and they heard his words and they came to follow. They became a Christian. Others yet, still, they came because they were waiting to see if he really was who he proclaimed to be. And those who would come and gawk, as Tommy sang about the old rugged cross, about him hanging up on that cross, and the promises that he made that he would be resurrected within 3 days. Some were so fearful of that they asked the government to post guards, Roman centurions, at his tomb to make sure somebody didn't come steal the body just so they could say he had resurrected. Others came because they wanted to honor him. So all sorts of reasons that they came to Jesus. And yet no matter their stature, he remained the same to everyone. Some of these folks that, like I say, that you get to meet on stage or in the movies or something, you see one aspect of them, but you see a totally different aspect when you get to be able to spend a little time with them. Others, what you see is what you get. There wasn't any change. But Jesus was constant. Jesus actually was constant when we first see him in the temple at a very young age, and mom and dad can't find him. And his response was, "Well, didn't you know I would be about my Father's business?" And they marveled at the knowledge of such a young person with his knowledge of the Scriptures. And yet, he had no different training than any other Jewish boy growing up. into the Jewish religion, but yet his wisdom baffled them. The scholars of Pharisees and Sadducees would come and ask questions of him, and yet he would be able to dumbfound them where they couldn't speak anything else against him. And here we find that not only did they seek after him, and sometimes they would spend all day walking and following him. And yet out of all of these multitudes, we also know that when he was arrested, even his own disciples scattered and denied even knowing him. But no one person has ever impacted the entire world from the time that he was born on this earth to the present day than Jesus Christ. Now, for a moment, imagine that you had the opportunity to meet Jesus face to face. What would you say? What would you do? Or would you just be stilted right where you're at? And yet Jesus met every one of them not where he was, but where they were. Remember, he met the needs of everyone and even stopped at a well to drink water and ask a Samaritan woman to give him water. And she couldn't believe he would even speak to her, her being a Samaritan, him being a Jew. But yet he was open to all. As I said, a Roman centurion sent his servant to pray for another servant and ask him to come and heal and touch. And Jesus saw that immediately and said, I don't need to. He's a man of authority. He speaks. It happens. And of course, we know that the servant went back to the centurion and met him along the way, and he was healed just by the speak. And another occasion, a woman just, she didn't have to see him. She didn't have to talk to him. She didn't have to ask him. All she wanted to do was touch the hem of his garment. And she was healed. And yet, others met him in a very dramatic fashion. When Paul was Saul and encountered him on the Damascus road, we know that he was struck blind. And he had quite a large encounter that is memorable. What was your encounter first with Jesus Christ? When we bring it into today's world, we look at preachers and teachers often have big rallies. We saw that with many of the great preachers of the past, the Billy Sundays, the Billy Grahams and all. And there's folks even today in our own churches that come and they meet Jesus, but it's about a feeling that they have, and they get really on fire and they just want to blow and go about all about Jesus, and you give them about 6 months to a year and you never see them anymore. Jesus talked about that too when he gave a parable about the sower, that some seeds fall on the rocks, some seeds fall in ground and start growing, but the weeds choke them out, and other seed falls on very fertile ground and is tended to, and you see that grow for a whole lifetime. So there's all sorts of encounters with Jesus Christ that we see that comes and takes place. In the book of Hebrews 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, we find that the Holy Spirit led this to be written. It said, both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. See, no matter how Jesus met these folks, to him, and as he related here in Mark, he says, My brothers and my mother, you tell me, are here, but he looked around at all of those who were there. And he says, yet all of these are my brothers and my sisters and my mothers because they honor and do the will of God. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. Talks about Jesus, God having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his will. You see, when all of these people came, and including us, to see Jesus and to meet him, he is the one who draws us to him. Now, in that day, because of the miracles and the teachings he was doing and being the end thing, and people wanted to go and see about who this Jesus was, he himself are the ones that draw the crowds. Today, he's not physically here, but his Holy Spirit draws us to him. There's not a single one of us that has in the past or even could today ask Jesus to come into our heart if the Holy Spirit hadn't first been there to let us know that we need a Savior. You see, most of the time, before we know Jesus, he already knows us, but yet we run about our lives doing whatever it is we're doing and thinking we've got the tiger by the tail, and yet one day it all comes crashing to an end, and the Holy Spirit, we call being put under conviction of the Holy Spirit, lets us know that there's a whole lot better life. There's a whole lot better way. And you can't get there without going through Jesus. The scripture we just read said the Father predestined that we, because he knows all things, those who would accept Christ, and he had a plan for them, and he wants to adopt them into his family, his kingdom. The Old Testament simply teaches us that God selected the Jewish people to be his people. No different than people all over. But he began to show you and I and teach you and I through human behavior. It's rather interesting. A lot of folks want to do away with the Old Testament. There's so much to learn. And yeah, it still happens today. The mode of travel or the circumstances may change a little bit for modern day world. But you know what? People are still people. And as the New Testament would teach us, people are still sheep. We're dumb. We don't learn from our mistakes. We'll continually commit it over and over again unless something changes and alters our events. Y'all have all experienced that in the workplace. Hey, there's a better way of doing it. This is the way we've always done it. Why would we want to change? Yep. That's what takes place. Well, it's more efficient. You can do a better job. You can do it faster. Whatever the reason is, and we go, but that ain't the way I've always done it. Nope. I'm going to keep doing it the way I've always done it. I was reminded of that when we went to the voting booth this week to early vote. And they hand me this long, big sheet of paper. And they hand me this pen. You need to black out the boxes. I had flashbacks of being in school, of taking a test. I thought, I came to vote. This isn't supposed to be a test. You know? And then I decide, well, read back to the instructions. Do I put a check mark? Do I put an X? No. You got to black it completely out. So you want me to color within the little box lines, right? I never did that when I was in school. I always colored outside the lines. Get in trouble. Can't you stay within the lines? Nope. It's not part of me. Why should I start now? Okay. My wife accused me sitting in the booth next to me. Yeah, I could tell you were over there. She said, I did it with circles, but I could hear you over there scratching. I said, well, I blacked the box out. What did you want? And then I handed it to the lady, and she goes, you're outside the lines. I don't know if the machine will take it or not. I guess that means I'm going to get to do it again, right? And I never understand. I said, well, you know, it would have been a whole lot easier had you give me a marker or a number two pencil or a Crayola? She said, well, we tried the Crayolas, but they gum up the machine. And we found out doing the markers, it soaks through on the other side so it doesn't know what to read. So you give me a fine point pen, a guy who writes heavy all of his life. No? Yeah, I got outside the lines. Well, we'll see. You may have to do it again. Luckily, the machine was smarter than the human beings. It accepted my vote. Again, meeting people, I'll go back to where I was, kind of a little rabbit trail there for you. But I was glad to go and be able to vote. But notice when Jesus looks at these people, although not all of them around him would accept him, they came to meet him. How was your encounter? You see, at some point in all of our lives, Holy Spirit, Jesus comes to visit us. But he gives us the free will to accept him or to reject him, even as it was when he walked on this earth as a human being, as man himself. And the Word tells us that we should seek him. If we seek him, we find him. Now, the reality is that some folks have a true encounter with Jesus Christ. But that's where it stops. And they go, I don't understand, you know. I know I've met Jesus and my life changed to a degree, but it just doesn't move forward. I'm watching people really active over here in ministries or being able to spread the gospel, and I just don't know what my place is. My first question is, have you asked him? And of course I get that deer in the headlight. Ask? What do you mean? And I said, well, the Word tells us that if we seek him, we will find him. How do I know what he wants me to do unless I seek him? How do I know exactly what his plan is for my life unless I ask him to show me that? The Psalms tell us that his word is a light unto our path. And that if we seek him, he will direct our steps. Well, there again, I got to ask. What is it that you want me to do? You see, that's in our everyday life. Sometimes my wife tells me, well, you didn't do that right. Well, I didn't know there was a different way to do it. Guys, y'all ever loaded the dishwasher for your wives? They have an order that it should be in what goes where, right? I learned early on, after the first time, few times I got in trouble, I would ask, okay, I'll load it. You just stand by and supervise and tell me where I put those. That doesn't go there. That goes over here. Got it. I'm trained loaded dishwasher now. I might not be able to do it at your house, lady, but I can sure do it at mine. Okay? I've been educated. But I found out I needed to ask her how to load it. You were talking about playing the guitar. You had to ask somebody to help teach you. Why would we not ask our Lord and Savior that we encountered and want to seek him? See, if you're stale in your relationship, the number one thing is that you seek and you have to work at that relationship, and that's through reading the Word and through prayer time, communicating, and yes, flat out asking. What I've learned in my life, if I ask of him, he is faithful to answer. If I seek him, I will find him. And then I have a choice to do it his way or to go about my own way. But all if all I do is stand in awe that I met Jesus Christ, it goes nowhere. He talks about giving us His joy and His peace. But if I'm not into His Word to understand and I don't communicate with Him, I'll never find the peace or the joy fully that He promised. I've got to allow Him to be able to work through me and talk with Him. And when I hit points that I don't understand, trust me, they come often. Okay? They come often that, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. What's the purpose behind this, or exactly how do you want me to do it? And you get further instructions. You know, when they gave me that voting deal, she goes, here, you need to mark the boxes. That was her words. You need to mark the boxes. So I had to go back for further instructions. What were on the sheet? It says I had to fully color them. Because the first one I put an X in, and I went back and colored my X. There was something in my brain that said, you might go back and read the instructions every now and then. Y'all ever had a test like that? Yeah, I remember a teacher handing out one that had over 100 questions on it. But the very first question was, only put your name on the test. And about halfway through it, I thought, man. And I go back and I look at that very first one. You know what it said? Only put your name on the test. Yeah, well, okay, I failed here. Her lesson was to teach, read the instructions. That's the instruction book. And what that teacher taught me was, read the instructions. There is not a single thing you and I come up to in life that the instructions are not already here. Nothing changes in the world. Humanity doesn't change. There was killings at the beginning, and there's killings still today. There was cheating. There was adultery. There was the ungodly. There was lying. Now, I realize there would never be any gossip in Llano County, right? But back then, there was some gossip. Everything is in the book. And when you read the book and you're not sure of the instructions, there is a teacher, just like we had in school, call the Holy Spirit. And when you pray with Him and you ask Him for further guidance and instruction, guess what? It comes. So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdoms of God. For those of us that are a little more simple-minded in Matthew, He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. And if you go down a little further, He says, you have not because you ask not. That's the dummy version. And I find myself saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't start this project out by asking You to guide me through it. Be amazed what happens when you do that. You see, our Heavenly Father loves you and I so much. He doesn't just want a one-time encounter. He wants to encounter you and I on a daily basis, every minute of every hour of every day. Paul caught on to that because Paul said, pray without ceasing. Now, you can change that word prayer. It's a reverent term. But all it simply means is communicate with Him without ceasing. Talk to Him all the time. Now, I know some of you personally in here, y'all ain't got a bit of problem with talking all the time. You see, one, it takes one to know one, right? Now, there's of you that are quiet all the time. So we, the talkers, have to prod you with questions and ask you what you think so that you become a talker. Sometimes we wished we hadn't. I'm sure the Lord's the same way, going, really? You again? I've already answered this for you, and you just don't like the answer. But he desires for you and I, and that's why we talk about personally knowing him, having a personal relationship with him, not a head knowledge. Whether people want to admit it or not, they always realize in their heart of hearts, they realize there's something greater, something more powerful than us. And we know that's God. He doesn't want a head knowledge. He wants an intimate, personal relationship with you and I. He stands. When we give invitations, we talk about he stands at the door and knocks. He stands with his arms open wide, inviting us in. He comes to us first, asking for that relationship. You see, he's there, but he gives you and I the freedom to choose. Not only the freedom to choose salvation, but the freedom to choose an intimate, personal relationship with him. One of the first things with couples sometimes that come and say, hey, we've just drifted apart. We have nothing in common. My first question usually is, when's the last time you two just sat down and talked about anything? Well, we don't talk, we argue. When was the last time you actually talked? What do you mean? Remember back when she was the apple of your eye? Oh, yeah, she was a whole lot different then. Okay. We got to start, right? Well, what did y'all talk about then? Oh, you know, whatever interests her. When's the last time you talked about anything that interests her? Well, what do you mean? Therein lies the issue with the relationship, right? But you see, Jesus is always ready and willing to talk with you and I. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute of every day, he's ready. And from that, what we read in Mark, he therefore, and because his Father sent him for that reason that we might be redeemed, he says, every single person that comes to me is my brother and my sister and my mother. We all have one Father. When we're adopted into that family, that's the realization sometimes we miss, is when we're adopted into that family, God doesn't see us as stepchildren. He sees us as brothers and sisters with his Son, Jesus Christ. Life-altering encounter. If you've met Jesus Christ and know him personally, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm just not sure if I've been saved. If you meet him and know him personally, there will be no doubt, because your life is altered for the rest of your life. Oh, we'll get off track. Don't misunderstand me. We do get off track. But he always brings us back. But that life-altering event is that suddenly the way I see things and see people and see the world has changed. I can see those things transpiring. Probably many of them should have transpired faster, but that's because I was stubborn and hard-headed. But literally, I can see the view of my view of the world has changed. The sympathy for people when they're going through hard times, not just a sympathy, well, that's too bad, I'm sorry for you, where we just say it, but literally sympathizing with them. Crying with them, loving with them. And you see, that's exactly what Jesus does in mine, in your heart, when we seek him, is he's there to jump and holler wahoo, but he's also there to cry with us. He's also there to put his arms around us and hug us. See, many of you already know what that is, for the Holy Spirit to hug you. How is your encounter? If you strayed away, can you remember back to that first encounter with Jesus? Have you sought him after that? Do you seek him every day? See, he gives us a brand new day every morning. And he lets us choose what we do with that day. I encourage you, right off the bat, when you wake up, you slap that alarm for the last time, and you finally get those eyes opened and your brain conscious about other than rolling over and wish that alarm would shut up so I could go back to sleep. Start your day out seeking him. What do you got for me today, Lord? Let me be attentive in what you have planned. You'll work in my work and all the other things of the day, but let me be attentive to you. I assure you, when you seek him first, he'll be there. Your day will go far better than anything you could have imagined, no matter what's on your plate for the day. Seeking him, and you'll be able to turn back and say, I've had a life-altering encounter with my Savior, Jesus Christ. I invite you to bow your head. If you're here and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity.